It is the 30th installment, Martin and Marlowe, and we're idiots because, well, for a lot of reasons. Martin Kilcoyne, Charlie Marlowe with you. Last week, episode 29, we had a lot of fun with that, and it was pointed out on Twitter, we forgot Chris Carpenter, who was kind of a prominent pitcher for the St. Louis Cardinals. The only 30, top of mind, Chuck, by now you should be looking this up, which he's doing right now. John Tudor of the Cardinals, I believe, was number 30. That's all I had. I had to look some up. A lot of goalies. Your guy Ryan Miller, Terry Sawchuk, Chris Osgood. A lot of famous. Martin Brodeur was 30. But I have to be honest, I looked up a lot. Not a lot of Terrell Davis, whose dad was stabbed in St. Louis. Remember that?
I shouldn't laugh at that.
And we're not laughing at that. We're laughing at that was his St. Louis shout-out in Canton when he went into the Hall of Fame. Chuck, good to see you. How are you?
Great to see you, Martin. And usually when we do these podcasts on Zoom, I'm not able to look at my phone because I'm on my phone, but because we're in person here, live in person, of course, socially distanced, how about Steph Curry, number 30? How about Nolan Ryan? How about Ken Griffey Jr. with the Reds?
Did he wear other numbers? Was he 24 for a while?
24 with the Mariners, as you said, Martin Brodeur, Terrell Davis, Todd Gurley with the Rams, Henrik Lundqvist. Bernard King.
Oh, yeah. Great. Prolific scorer. Del Curry, his dad.
Gary Cheevers.
Yeah, sure.
And how about this? We'll finish on number 10, according to Ranker.com. Gump Worsley.
Gump. Oh, yeah.
Hockey Hall of Famer. Gump.
Yes, for sure.
Gump Worsley. There you go.
This would have been a list I should have brought up with Darren Pang, to be fair. And I apologize to Chuck. He tells me he's having lunch with his wife, which is a great – I love that. That's very romantic. I love that. And then I sent him a little note this morning. Hey, this would be a good story. Can you run down and get this? And then later I thought of it. I'm like, oh, man, that was rude. That was like at lunchtime. So I was not trying to sabotage. That used to happen at the sports office. Chris Pelican, according to Rob Desir, would always sabotage his show.
Chris Pelican, my neighbor kind of, lives just like a baseball throw away from me. So I ran into him recently as I was walking my dog.
You know, I saw him the other day at Dick's Sporting Goods, but I wasn't sure if it was him. And with the mask on, I don't know who anybody is. And lately I've been going, I look like I'm homeless. I have a winter hat, a mask, sweatpants. And if I'm just running into a place, you fly in, you fly. I don't really even think about what I look like. So it may have had more to do with that. But I'm walking by and I see this guy who looks like Chris Pelican with a couple of kids. And we used to call him Scoop. You know, everybody's got a nickname. It was stupid, but there was a news story one night about a pelican that was found, and it was like the kicker on the news, and the pelican was named Scoops. It was really stupid. But we started calling him that. So I wasn't positive it was him. So Carson and I are walking by, and I just go, Scoop! And I kind of, but I looked the other way just in case. And he didn't move or make eye contact, and it felt like a weird adult male moment. So, like, who is the guy in Wyoming toe-tapping in the stall or something? It felt like some weird come-on. So I just put my head down, kept walking. And then about 5 minutes later, I go, I think that was him. So I texted him. He goes, buddy, you're at the mall? I was just at the mall. I said, were you at the mall? He goes, yeah, I'm at the mall. He said, I was just at Dick's Sporting Goods. Where are you? And I said, I was at Dick's. He goes, I thought I heard somebody say something. This is the mask world we live in. Then we had a great text exchange for about 5 minutes, and he said, good to catch up.
That's fantastic. Now, where this story started, though, was you ruining what my wife and I have now called hashtag Wednesdate. Okay, our Wednesday lunch date, because it's the only day of the week I don't do the award-winning radio show with Cam Jansen on 590 The Fan. So because we have that time, my wife's working from home. She loves Wednesdate. So I did tell her, hey, I have to do this story. So Foye Oluokun was talking to Lift for Life Academy, Foye from John Burroughs, the linebacker for the Atlanta Falcons. And I said, hey, I might have to miss our lunch. And she was really mad about it, honestly. So we worked it out where we did more of a brunch earlier, and she was happy as a clam. But, yeah, don't mess with our Wednesdate, hashtag Wednesdate.
I honestly, I didn't think of it at the time, and then later it occurred to me. And as a joke, I think it was, Rob Desir, who was doing the sports at Fox 2, and Chris Pelican was a young guy up and coming, so he would produce some of the shows. If he would type in the wrong name or the wrong logo or whatever, Rob would come in and say, oh, man, sabotage. So that became another nickname. So I apply. Wednesdate is very cute. It's a good idea. It's necessary. you'll end up having more kids, bold prediction. And what Kim and I have done every once in a while is we'll stay in a hotel downtown on a weekend night just to get away from everyone. And the best part is we don't even tell the kids.
Ooh, I like that. Yeah, my daughter's about to be 3, actually, next week, so we can't have her watch herself yet. But, yes,
I was important. Kidding. We have
I
a babysitter.
I know. But it's very important, though, to still have that time with your spouse. And during COVID, because she's working from home, and, again, I have that nice time. And I said, why don't we do hashtag Wednesday, and we'll post it on Facebook or Instagram every week. I'm joking, of course. I would never do that. But I feel like somebody would, because hashtag Wednesday, it does seem kind of cute.
It seems like a Bennifer, like Brad and Jen, or some like one of those weird People magazine. All right, here's the first question. And I think this is a really good question. It may have been asked by somebody online. Ohio State playing Alabama national championship game. You love to gamble. You love the Buckeyes. Did you bet against Ohio State? Would you?
I usually don't. So I will bet Ohio State if I think they're going to cover. And then when I don't feel like betting Ohio State, I'm usually right in the sense that they don't cover or don't win. So I should just go ahead and bet against them, but part of me doesn't want to do that. Here's what I'll say. I actually did think Ohio State would keep that game close, especially, and when I say close, closer than 9.5, which was the closing number. With the Buckeyes this year, I never thought they were this great national championship contending team until they beat Clemson. I thought Ohio State was going to lose to Clemson. But on the same day where Notre Dame kept it kind of close versus Alabama, and then Ohio State blows out Clemson by 21 points, by watching those games that day, I'm thinking, why can't Ohio State stay with Alabama? And it was just obvious that it was Alabama this year and everybody else. If you're an Ohio State fan, as I am, it sucks to get blown out again in the national championship game, but at least this year you beat Clemson, and you needed to get that monkey off your back because Clemson had owned Ohio State for about 6 years. So, you know what? If you beat Clemson and you finish second in the country, even though you get embarrassed in the national championship game, I'll take that.
Well, and anybody who said, oh, they don't belong there, what Ohio State, this is what happens when you put a team that didn't play that many games. Because they beat Clemson, they earned their way there. That's enough. You beat Clemson, everybody else has to shut up about whether Ohio State was good enough to take on Alabama. That said, they were better than everybody else. It was obvious. Is it boring now, college football? I mean, the next year's top 20 – I got my rankings for the top 25 next year, and I will put them out at midnight of the national championship game, the next year's rankings. Guess what? Clemson's good. Ohio State's good. Oklahoma's good. Alabama's good. Georgia's good. It's the same flipping teams. Can we go to 8 in the playoff and just hope that every once in a while a Cincinnati or a Boise State or a Coastal Carolina like gets on a little run just to spice it? They probably won't, but at least have that opportunity.
Yeah, and give them the shot. Give Cincinnati, Coastal Carolina, give those schools a chance to get in the playoffs. I've always thought that college football overall just needs more better games. And I'll say this as an Ohio State fan. Now, I know the Buckeyes are a little bit different because they're so good every year. They do blow a lot of teams out. But if I'm looking at the Ohio State schedule, there's only about 3 or 4, maybe 5 games a year that I feel like I'm really interested in. Michigan game, you play Penn State, maybe it's Wisconsin, maybe you have one premier non-conference game, and then Big Ten championship, and you're hoping for the college football playoff, but so many of those games aren't even entertaining or interesting. I would love to see a rule where all Power 5 teams, you can throw in Notre Dame, you can throw in some of the better Group of 5 schools, they all have to play each other. I don't want to see any non-conference games against chumps, right? Make all those teams play 12 or 13 hard games a year, and I don't care if the team is only 10-2 and they get to the playoff. Wouldn't you like to see week in, week out, playing really good opponents? A lot of these schools, like Alabama, will beat a crappy school by 50. I mean, hell, they beat a good team by 20. Look at their schedule. They've beaten all these great teams by 20 points. That's where, when you tuned in on Monday night, the difference between college and the NFL is almost every NFL game is good. And that was a blowout in the national championship game. And, yes, I think that left a lot of people wanting more.
You know, Mizzou only lost to Alabama by 19, Charlie. Are you aware of that? So that means Mizzou's better than Ohio State, right?
Oh, I got a lot.
Is that how that works?
I got a lot of tweets about that. Okay. So, yes, of course.
Appliance Discounters, a great St. Louis success story. They're in Maplewood, South County, St. Charles, and Baldwin. And they carry GE appliances. You know the story at Appliance Discounters. Great merchandise, even better prices. Well, they carry GE. So what I tell folks to do all the time, I just tell them, go to the website, theappliancediscounters.com, and in a little search engine, type in GE, and all of the great products will pop up. Ranges, microwaves, freezers. How about the stainless steel dishwasher? Free installation. Washers and dryers. Dryers can be gas or electric. Great selection of the GE products. Refrigerators, French door, fingerprint resistant refrigerator. How does that sound to all the parents out there? Top freezer refrigerators. GE is built to last. You know their story. Started in 1892. I love this nugget about GE. Thomas Edison, one of the founders of GE. Appliance Discounters, a proud supplier of General Electric appliances. Get online at theappliancediscounters.com.
Over the weekend, NFL story that had Battlehawks fans cacawing yet again. Taylor Heinicke, who I don't even remember that he was on the Battlehawks. I think early on before Jordan Ta'amu got the job, he was the guy. Then they brought in Ta'amu later. But so this Taylor Heinicke, and everything gets labeled a Kurt Warner story. But he'd been on like the Texans, Panthers, Bears, Packers, Vikings, whatever. And then he was the backup on the Battlehawks, and he's starting an NFL playoff game. He was signed to the practice squad in December. And on top of that, he was really good. I mean, it's always possible some of these guys can play given the chance. That was kind of fun. And then you tweeted, greatest St. Louis quarterbacks ever, and you put Taylor Heinicke on the list. And, of course, everybody said, well, what about Jim Hart? What about Neil Lomax? And I'm like, it was a joke.
No, people didn't get that. I'm not going to throw anybody under the bus here, but some really smart people that I won't mention their names didn't understand that I was kidding. I thought, now I put Kurt Warner 1, and I put Jim Hart 2, and I guess I could have used Neil Lomax. But then I put two St. Louis Battlehawks, of course, Taylor Heinicke and Jordan Ta'amu, and then I put a punter. I put Johnny Hecker as the fifth person, and I thought—
I disagree with Hecker. I think there were other guys more worthy, like Mark Bolger.
Right. And people were legitimately debating this, and I'm like, do I really have to explain this? Okay. But Taylor Heinicke, what you knew him for, remember, he was known for the double-barreled Bud Light seltzer chug after the game for the Battlehawks. I remember that video. I didn't even really know it was him until people started playing again when he had this great game. He looked fantastic. Like, he looked like a quarterback that should start in the NFL. How many times do you watch an NFL game and think, that guy's terrible? I watched Taylor Heinicke. I know it was one game, and I'm like, I think you could win some games with that guy, right? I mean, with some good players around him and a good defense, I feel like Taylor Heinicke could take a team to the playoffs. So I hope he gets another shot.
You run for a touchdown. You throw for a touchdown. You're over 300 yards in an NFL playoff game. I mean, that jumps out on a resume. My deal is Washington, whatever their team name, the Washington team, that's not going to get too old too soon, has to keep him as a quarterback, and then they have to play caw-caw every time they score.
That's a rule.
I like that. So they already got rid of Dwayne Haskins.
And that worked out well.
Yes. Well, you know what? Dwayne Haskins got paid, though.
Well, I'm not saying he didn't get paid.
I know he likes to go maybe to a party. Maybe there are strippers there. I don't know, allegedly. But
the best part is there were strippers. It was a party for his wife. And the best part two, is people were mad. Not because he was at a strip party, but because he wasn't wearing a mask.
Yes, you can do whatever you want as long as you follow social distancing. And
that guy robbed a bank. He didn't have a mask.
Guidelines. But Alex Smith is coming back, I think, if he can still walk and all of that. And but no, Taylor Heinicke, if I'm another team, at least he's going to get a job as a backup. I mean, when you have a performance like that in the postseason, everybody's watching that game. Yeah, he's going to get another shot in the NFL, and deservingly so.
How about the Cleveland Browns winning a playoff game? And I love the historical references. I don't like to go on the air and say, do you know what a gallon of milk cost back then? But it is amazing to think when the Browns won a playoff game, January of 95, Bill Belichick was the coach. I'm guessing Nick Saban was on that staff because I think he was with Belichick in Cleveland. A lot of name coaches were on that staff. But if you think about that, it was Bill Clinton's first term. It's the last time Cleveland won a playoff football game. I was still in Rhinelander, Wisconsin. I hadn't moved to Madison. I hadn't moved to St. Louis. I do some quick Chuck Marlowe math. You would have been somewhere in middle school.
95, I would have been, let's see.
26 years ago.
Right, I'd have been 12 still, because I wouldn't turn 13 until May 28th. So I'd have been 12, meaning I'm what? I'm in probably seventh grade.
Sixth or seventh.
Seventh, yeah. I think, yeah.
Long time ago. Also in the NFL, 7 head coaching jobs are available. Here's my theory. Like, if I was a team thinking about firing my coach right now, I wouldn't do it, because there's not enough good candidates to go. There's not 7 really good NFL head coaches ready to take over a program and do a great job. So what you get, every team interviews the exact same people. Eric Bieniemy will interview with these 8 teams. The offensive coordinator for the Titans, Arthur Smith, oh, he's a hot candidate. Here's what happens every time. The agents for these assistant coaches get to the national pundits, the guys who have all the followers, and say they're kind of interested in my guy. And then all of a sudden, the Adam Schefters of the world start mentioning these assistants, like about a couple weeks ago. And then every franchise is like, we got to talk to that guy. I'm telling you, it happens every year. It builds on itself. Now, some of them turn out, like the Matt LaFleur, granted, he's got Aaron Rodgers, turns out to be a good hire. But there's so many of these guys you've never heard of, get their names floated, and they end up being terrible. Of these 7, I'll bet you 3 or 4 are terrible.
Oh, 100%. And I love how, too, I saw this the other day, only because I follow a bunch of Michigan sports writers and media types, and somebody was making fun of the fact that the Detroit Lions, you can look this up on their official Twitter, they were tweeting out a picture and a graphic when they finished up an interview with a coach. It wasn't like, hey, we hired this guy. It was, we wrapped up our interview with so-and-so, and they were promoting that. That's just stupid.
Hey, everybody, here's who we might hire in case you wanted to also hire him. It's the same system. It's the same names. And then they fire them without really like a great idea of who they're going to bring in. And then they'll interview the same people that all the other teams are doing. It's stupid. Let's talk sponsors, Chuck. Who brought us these great Marlo moments?
Kennelwood Pet Resorts. I got to call them, by the way, because Otis, he needs a haircut. So we'll drop him off for a day camp. He'll get the grooming, and he'll have fun running around. We'll get the bath and all that. He'll come back looking great, smelling great. Corner Butcher, speaking of smelling great, okay, different.
Is that what they want? Is that a talking point? Corner Butcher.
Well, I was trying.
Is Corner Butcher smelling great?
I was trying to kind of spin off my dog smelling great, but Corner Butcher in a different way, when you just smell the great smell of meat, of cooked meats, grilling, even though it's cold right now, you still can grill. I love the fillets there. I love the ribeye. They have the great take-home dishes. We got some Italian beef the other day, Swedish meatballs, the pepper-encrusted summer sausages, fantastic. They have the Boar's Head partnership, where you wouldn't think you go to a butcher shop and you get hummus, but they have this Boar's Head hummus that's black bean hummus and everything bagel hummus, and it's fantastic. At Corner Butcher in Fenton, 2099 Bentley Plaza Drive. Then, of course, St. Louis Equipment for your lawn mowing needs, St. Louis Lawn Care for everything for your yard, because pretty soon here, it's going to get nice weather again, and you're going to want to call St. Louis Lawn Care to get them to hook you up for all your treatment and all your lawn cutting for 2021.
All right, you mentioned all the great food. How is, I won't call it a diet, but how is the new routine doing? We both admitted last week we need to lose weight. You hit a certain number on the scale that shocked you. I'm just going to guess 250, but I don't know that. I don't know. But I'm doing okay, but I'm disappointed. I haven't moved the needle enough. Cut way back on drinking beer, cut back on drinking, but not enough, and have been like starving myself during the day. But then at dinner, I eat like tons of food. So a little bit of progress, but not a ton. I would still fall into that category. A friend of mine in college, his brother called him one day, and he was really mad because he'd gone to the doctor. And you know, they always have the chart behind the door. And his brother grabs it out just to like flip through it. And the nurse had made all these notes. And one of them, she's just observing, says, I'm staring at a mildly obese man. And he read it. And he was like, he called his brother. He goes, am I mildly obese? And he's like, well, technically, according to the term. So we all struggle with it, right? But how is it going, Chuck?
Okay, so.
The excuse would be Ohio State.
Yeah. I'm not gonna necessarily announce this number yet.
No, you don't.
Look, on Christmas Day, I was just, after a month of, or maybe a month and a half, eating, drinking,
couple years,
and I was like, oh my God, this is bad. I've actually lost 12 pounds since Christmas, but I think that's more of a fact of how much of a heathen I was then. I will say, what I've really done is I'm only drinking on Sundays. So I've, in the last, what, Like, I didn't even drink Ohio State game. I mean, that's
Sundays are basically your Saturday.
Correct. So Sundays, now don't get me wrong, when I drink Sundays, we started with a bottle of wine, and then, okay, there's another bottle, I can finish that one, and oh, there's a little vodka left. So I make sure I get my money's worth.
Where's the rubbing alcohol?
Hand sanitizer, whatever it is. I worked out yesterday. I've been taking the dog for walks here, Otis, of course. So I'm actually down 12 pounds from my high. I'm going to get it going here. And I think the drinking is key. I'm going to do this intermittent fasting. That's tougher for me. Like, I can go far into the day before I ever eat. I could easily not eat until 2, 3 o'clock if I'm drinking coffee. Right.
But they're problem starving.
Problem, though, is at night I'm really hungry when I get home from work.
Also, great sponsors, Triad Bank. We were in their parking lot last week. They were probably about to call security, but it was the on-location version. Thanks, everybody who checked out the video clip of us hanging in that parking lot. Triad Bank is a St. Louis-based bank. They've been here since 2005 at the corner of Lindbergh and Clayton Road. If you just go a little bit west, you'll see them right there in Frontenac and on the web. It's triadbanking.com. Also, Marie Davila Senior Living, premium senior living since 1960 at the corner of Clayton and Wideman Road. You can get a virtual tour right now at mariedavila.com. And Appliance Discounters, they have four area locations. Here's a good little nugget for you, Charlie. Mike Shanahan owned the Blues back in the Brett Hull era, extremely popular owner of the Blues, and passed away a couple of years ago. But his son, Mike Shanahan Jr., I know a little bit, and Mike sends me a text today. He said, "What's your appliance place you're always talking about?" And I wanted to say, "Oh, on the podcast, on the radio, wherever." But he said, "I'm in the market. I need a couple of dishwashers. I need to get them stat." Hooked them up. My guy John Bradley over there at Appliance Discount, another satisfied customer. So sometimes it's just lowly sports guys. Other times it's the former Blues owner's son getting the hookup at Appliance Discounters. Check out all the material at theappliancediscounters.com.
I believe I can check this. I think I've bought 4 appliances from Appliance Discounters just this year for rental properties. I'm pretty sure it was an oven, 2 microwaves, and a refrigerator.
Great smell, too, when you walk in there. Just
great
like,
smell. I actually
just like
thing.
Otis and the
just
corner
like
butcher.
Otis, just like meat. I will say this. Appliance Discounters is actually so good that you don't even have to go in if you don't want to, though. All 4 of those purchases I did over the phone. I give them a model number. You can get the pictures. They'll tell you exactly what it is, the price, when it's there, and it's just easy. You don't even have to walk into the store. Of course, you could if you wanted to, but it's easy to do over the phone.
All right, my favorite current story is NBA-related, and it's Kyrie Irving, who is just missing. And this is the same guy. Very interesting guy. Great player. Went to Duke. Didn't he say a few years ago that he believes the Earth is flat?
He did.
I wanted to tweet, and you never know. Maybe he's just goofing off. I don't know. But you never know what's going on. I wanted to say, is it possible he literally fell off the face of the Earth because he believes it's flat? So he just disappeared. He's just at home. He's posting pictures at a family birthday party. It's very weird, and you're too young, but I do remember the story. The Lakers, Cedric Ceballos, was their team captain. He was their leading scorer at the time. They get on a plane to go to Seattle, and he doesn't show up for the plane. And then a couple days later, Jerry West is like, "Well, we're trying to make contact with him. We haven't talked to him." You know, and this is before, you know, Instagram and social media and all that stuff. And he was spotted in Lake Havasu, Arizona, water skiing. I'm like, it's the middle of the NBA season, and I don't know. Maybe we can get him on the show because I don't really know whatever happened, like how that got explained. But Kyrie Irving, let's role play, Chuck. You're Kyrie Irving. What are you thinking?
Okay. First of all, a red flag when they hired Steve Nash and Kyrie Irving came out along with Kevin Durant said, "We don't really have a coach. It's more of a group think." Okay, no, you actually do have a head coach. I mean, that's what he said right after Steve Nash was hired. Kyrie Irving clearly has issues with teammates. He couldn't even get along with LeBron when LeBron was allowing him to be the man and they won a championship together, and that still was not good enough. And here he is now with the Nets, making $30-plus million a year, still not happy. As you said, he was at the birthday party. And then when the Nets were playing a game, apparently, the other day, he was on a Zoom call with, like, a district attorney in New York.
Like, raising money.
Raising money. And then the big news from today when we're recording this podcast here on a Wednesday in the NBA, they trade for James Harden, and all these dudes want the ball. You have Kyrie Irving and Kevin Durant and James Harden and one basketball, that's gonna be fantastic to watch that thing implode.
Thank God they don't have a coach to deal with all this.
It's unbelievable.
You know, you don't have to go on a Zoom to do any fundraising. If you show up for work and you make $30 million, you can give it away.
Yeah, and he's just not showing up. I heard a clip of Steve Nash where they said, are you in contact with him? And he gave the most, well, we're going to keep that in-house. There's been the ability to reach out. And it was like, clearly he's saying no, but he was trying to finesse the situation. This dude is just not showing up, and he's making something like $33 million a year.
All right, we're going to close it out because I've observed a new radio personality. There's always, you know, stumbles into an opinion guy, begging for calls guy, sports radio characters that play out. I've discovered another one is can't say goodbye guy. And it's like, hey, thanks so much for being with us. And then the guy says, all right, thanks for having me. He's like, great to catch up. Looking forward to doing it again. The guy's like, hey, no problem. Anytime. Hey, we're going to take you up on that. We'll do it anytime. The guy's like, okay, sounds good. Hey, you know, give me your Twitter handle while we're at it. Yeah, okay. You can reach me. Okay, great. Really great stuff. Looking forward to doing this again. You've been great to have on. Hey, thanks so much. Great to be on in St. Louis. All right, my friend. Hey, happy New Year. All of my best to your family. Have you heard this generic person?
Yes, that's usually me. If we're doing this podcast and you're ready to wrap it up, but if I have one more nugget, I have to get it out there. Good for you, though, tonight is I have nothing to offer, so we can just end it.
I could see it that you had nothing. Yes. But one more nugget or one
see,
more.
Now you're doing it.
One more nugget or one more story is different than just saying goodbye over and over again in different form of, hey, great to be with you. Okay, thanks. We'll do it again soon. Yeah. Happy New Year to you. Okay. Looking forward to it. Oh, mention your blog. Okay. Like, it's just crazy. Chuck, this was the Wednesday Sabotage 30th installment of Martin and Marlowe, a real milestone. Have a great week, Chuck.
You too, sir.